everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Break the Ice podcast. I'm your host, Julia, from Virginia. Most of my listeners know if you go to shows anywhere around the East Coast, they've probably seen me. So I started this to have more in-depth conversations with fans, local bands, and artists from the scene. Today's episode, as I'm sure you picked up from the intro song, is with frontman Shane Told from both Silverstein and River Oaks. We talk about touring, his voice, his New Year's resolutions, and of course, music. Before we get started, I want to tell you guys that we are on social media. Facebook as Break the Ice, Twitter at PodcastBTI, and Instagram at Break the Ice Podcast. Also, my email is BreakTheIcePodcast2016@gmail.com. Hit me up. I would love to hear your comments and suggestions for upcoming shows. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Shane. So, I'm here with Shane from Silverstein. How are you, Shane?
Hey, I am very well.
Shane sings for the band called Silverstein, and they are a phenomenal band. They've been one of the greatest bands I've ever seen live, and I wanted to get Shane on my podcast because I know that he has his own podcast called Lead Singer Syndrome.
I do.
You do. And this week was the 1 year anniversary, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
How was that coming around to 1 year and just doing it continuously week after week?
You know, I'll say this, it's been a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. It's really just a name that I thought was kind of funny, you know, and I originally thought I might actually make it a YouTube channel, and have, you know, interview other singers like on video. Then the idea kind of morphed into a podcast, and I'm glad I did that, but man, like doing a podcast every week, it is a lot of work and like way more work than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, I have a question about that. How did you decide to, like, you know, you're in a band and you guys tour and you guys are, like, right now you guys are just finished a tour in the U.S. with Memphis Mayfire, Devil Wears Prada, and like Moths to Flames, and you guys are all heading to the UK. How do you manage, like, to keep it going every week? And, you know, you have your plate full, so why did you start a podcast in the first place?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, like, I thought the idea and the name were just too good to not do it. So I just, that's kind of why. And, you know, at the time the idea was conceived, I was on Warped Tour, so there was a lot of people kind of hanging around that I could talk to and get. But, you know, it's like, I just think that most interviews with bands kind of suck, to be frank. It's not always the interviewer's fault, by any means. A big part of it is that to really, you know, hear something you haven't heard before, you have to have a lot of time to talk to somebody. Think, like, if you try to get it done in 15 minutes, well, I mean, basically my interviews, like, they don't even really start until 15 minutes, you know what I mean? So, you know, a lot of times the best things aren't really discussed until, you know, you're talking about, like, 35, 40 minutes in. And that's when most, traditional interviews are over. So, I started that, and I really, really just have been enjoying it, talking to people and bringing the conversations that I have had for years and years and years on tour with other bands and just bringing them into people's cars and stereos, you know?
Oh, yeah. A lot of us listen to it religiously every Monday morning on the way to work.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that. And that's cool, too, that you know, now I have fans, you know, of my podcast, which is something that I didn't even really think about when I started it either. I didn't think about, you know, me being, I don't know the word, me being admired for that. You know, it's just like, I'm just talking to people, but I guess that is a thing. So I'm stoked.
Cool. And you have interviewed a bunch of people. Is there one that's particularly your favorite?
There's a few. It'd be hard to name just one, but the episode I did with Will from Aiden.
Oh, yeah, that one was killer.
It's probably the craziest one because he's had a really crazy life as a teenager, like a drug-addicted teenager, you know, committing crimes and stuff. That one is pretty crazy, and, you know, he's a good friend of mine, too. And I really like the what I did with Jenna from Tonight Alive. She's terrific, and we, you know, I just had Caleb on for the year anniversary, and
yeah,
it was the first ever, so.
I want to touch up on that because...
He's great to talk to you as well.
Yeah, dude. I'm a huge Silverstein and then Beartooth fan, so when you both came together with Silvertooth, I think I died a little bit inside. I completely love it. How did that friendship start? Like, how did... It, you know, because, like, there's a big age difference, and, like, I'm not saying that's going to particularly pick your friends, you know, but,
yeah.
You know... Two different bands, you know, two different directions, and you know, a friendship. Like, you guys are super tight. You guys click.
Yeah, we are super tight. We're tighter than we've ever been with any other band in our 16 years of being a band. Absolutely. And it's cool because I think Caleb talks about this in the new episode. You know, any one of those guys and any one of our guys could be hanging out, and it's not, like, weird. Like, everybody is... as close, like me and Caleb are super close, but me and Cam are super close too. Or I could have lunch with Ashi, or Taylor and I always have great conversations, you know. So it's like, it's the whole band. And the age thing is interesting. Yeah, like, I don't ever think about people's ages when I'm on tour with either the other bands or the people working or whatever. I don't ever think about that I'm probably older. I don't know. It's like, we're all on the same page. We're all doing the same thing. And for the most part, you know, bands, we all kind of get it. And you know, and I don't know. I guess I've been spending most of my life, adult life, hanging out with people that are younger than me. So I love hanging out with young people, and maybe it keeps me young. I don't know.
Well, so you and your band are going to the UK, like, tomorrow or today? I don't know.
We're going tonight, actually. It's 4:15 now. I have to be at the airport at 6:30.
Holy crap. How is that? Like, your voice, you know, the jet lag and the time change. You usually tell on your podcast that it is probably the hardest thing for you. So once you're there, like, what do you do to maintain your voice? Once you, like, what if you're on stage and it starts to slip, or, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's for me, I don't do a lot of the tricks, you know, that on my podcast so many people talk about. I don't do a lot of the tricks, and actually, the last tour, the U.S. tour, I was super sick for like, I want to say like a week and a half of it, maybe even 2 weeks of it, and it sucked. Like, I had this sinus thing where I, like, couldn't, I don't know, I just, like, you know, I didn't sound, like, when my talking voice didn't sound normal, so neither did my singing voice, so, mm-hmm. You know, I had to make it work, and it just sucks when you can't do your job, you know, the one thing that you're supposed to do, and you can't do it, no matter what. Like, there's no way to fix it. So that sucked. And so I'm hoping for better luck this tour in Europe. But it is really difficult when you get on the plane, you know, and we're flying overnight. So we're gonna leave North America at 9:30, and we're gonna land. It's gonna be morning time in Germany, and the only sleep I'll have
is from the plane.
Yeah, we have a day. Luckily, we have a day when we get there to kind of, you know, try to adjust. We don't have to play the same day we land.
Okay.
But it is definitely going to be hard. And the jet lag sucks, and the time difference, you know, you're just not used to it. So going that direction, too, on a plane is harder, I find. Going from North America to Europe, I think, is a harder adjustment than going from Europe back to North America. So,
really?
Whatever, though, it's what I signed up for.
Don't you think, like, once, do you ever, like, adjust, and then you, like, have to leave, and then you have to readjust when you come back?
All the time. I mean, we just did a tour where we went to Australia. So we left Toronto and went to Australia.
And that was with Pierce the Veil and Beartooth.
That's right. Yeah, you know your stuff. Pierce the Veil. Pierce the Silvertooth, we're calling it.
Jeez, that would have been great.
Three Drum Kids on stage, that would be fun.
That would have been weird vocal-wise. You know, because, yeah, like, Vic is very different, like, from
no,
you
like
and...
A, It's perfect. We have like a low, mid, and high range voice. It would be very complimentary, I feel. But we went to Australia, we came back, and then we went to Japan, which is in the same time zone as Australia, like 2 weeks later. So just as I was almost adjusted, pretty much not quite all the way adjusted back to North American time, boom, we're back in Japan and I'm fucked up again. And it was horrible. I was jet lagged for like, I felt like I was jet lagged for like 2 months.
Oh my gosh.
So it was, yeah, it was... Yeah, it was weird, but, you know, like I said, it's just part of...
You love what you do, you know? And you're gonna deal with it, because, I mean, like, that's like when you start a band, you want to travel, and you want to go out of the U.S., you know, it's like one of the biggest accomplishments, no matter what the jet lag or how you feel afterwards.
I guess it is a weird thing, though, because when you start a band, you know, it's not always, it's not the traveling... And it's not those things that you have in mind, you know, you think about the shows and you think about that stuff and performing and you know, and then it's funny when the actual reality of it is most of the time you're sitting around or you're traveling, and you're sitting around worrying, am I going to be able to sing tonight, or not being able to sing as well as you normally can sing just because you've played all these shows in a row, you've been doing all this traveling, you're tired, whatever. And that's always a weird thing, how, like, you know, you see a band live and you're like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe the singer was like a little off on that night or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, because I don't think you're ever going to see anybody that's going to be at 100%, because just the reality of touring is such that no band is ever going to be 100%.
Yeah. Your voice, your screaming has changed a lot from the beginning, like from your first album to what is now your single and stuff like that. How did that come about? I mean, did you blow your voice? Do you still blow your voice out? Like,
blow my voice out?
Like, you know, that's like the screaming thing is all about the diaphragm, and some people throat scream, and your screams are very different from your first album to what is now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be completely honest, I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
It's like, fake it till you make it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a common thing I say, but I didn't know what I was doing. I just, you know, I never screamed in a band ever. And then, you know, I was a singer. Well, I wasn't even a singer, I was a guitar player, but I had been singing in a band for a while. And then when it was Silverstein, I just was the standalone singer. And they wanted to have screaming. And I said, well, I can't scream. And they said, okay, well, that's all right. And over time, I tried here and there. And I, you know, sort of figured it out a little bit. And I'd say the first album, you know, we had been a band for like 3 years. So I'd only been really screaming for like two and a half years, maybe, I'd been screaming. So I was still trying to kind of finding my voice. And, you know, I think it took me a while. I mean, even like the second record, I think it's a little better, but it's still not, you know, so it's not there yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was really until we had been a band for like 8-9 years that I finally was like, huh, I kind of like the way that I'm screaming now. And now, over the past few albums, I think I've finally just sort of gotten better singing and screaming. I think for some reason something just clicked, and I'm just better. I don't know why. I don't know what to attribute it to.
You have a side project called River Oaks, and there is no screaming in that. What was the start for River Oaks? Like, did you just wanted to do something that was completely different? Like, how'd that come about?
Well, like I said, I always thought I'm a guitar player. You know, mm-hmm. I started getting into music because I wanted to play guitar. I never wanted to be a singer. And as I grew as a musician, you know, a big thing for me was songwriting. And once I got pretty good at guitar, I wasn't worried about playing guitar anymore. I wasn't trying to play Metallica solos anymore. I was trying to write my own music. So that's, you know, something that's always been a part of me. I wrote songs in my old band, Jerk Circus, and, you know, with Silverstein, I still write a lot of the music. But, you know, at the same time, Silverstein is something that we all collaborate. You know, we all work together on songs. And, you know, there's been a few songs that were 100% mine, but at the same time, they're still written for Silverstein. So I wanted, with River Oaks, I wanted to write something all by myself. I wanted to do it all by myself, partly to see if I could, and partly just so that it's like 100% my own expression and 100% my own vision. And I just missed playing guitar. I missed playing guitar on stage. I missed it so much. So that was a big factor as well.
Yeah, and you will be touring. Hopefully, this should be out before you go on tour. For River Oaks.
Yeah, well, I'm playing Cleveland, Detroit,
Michigan.
Yep, Detroit, Michigan, Cleveland, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and New York, New York. And that's between December 26th and December 30th. Yeah, just five shows, real quick. But if you're in those cities, please come.
For sure,
RiverOaksMusic.com, get your tickets.
I should be at three of those. I'm thinking about
crazy.
Yeah. I really want to see this because you will be singing the three songs that you have released, and you said you'd probably be doing a couple of your own band, Silverstein, and others.
I can bring my own band. Yeah. How weird is
that? Another thing we can talk about is Stay Warm Toronto in Toronto. Apparently, you guys started that. And this is your second year. This is going to happen the 17th and the 18th. So you guys are pretty busy throughout, starting tonight till the end of the year.
We're very, very, very busy. It's crazy. Stay Warm is cool. I had this idea about a year and a half ago, and I just thought there weren't a lot of festivals going on in Toronto. And I thought we could do something really cool, bringing a bunch of our friends together and do this big Christmas show. So last year we kicked it off. Paul came up with the name, and we had some great bands last year. We had Cancer Bats, our great Toronto band, and we had Beartooth, you know, some of our best friends. So it was a great celebration, and I think it was sold out, or very close to sold out. So this year we decided we would do two nights, and we would have our very good friends in Protest the Hero headline one night, and we would headline the other. And we have some amazing bands playing. I mean, we have American Nightmare playing, which is, like, so crazy. I mean, one of the best hardcore bands of all time.
Yeah, I saw the lineup, and I was just like, man, why am I here and I can't go?
Well, it's too bad you can't go.
I know.
I mean, it's really is a great lineup both days. River Oaks is playing the second day as well, so no, it should be a lot of fun, and it's really, really looking forward to it, and really excited about it.
So you guys, a couple months back, released a song, Ghost.
Yes.
And it is amazing. I think it's one of the greatest songs that I've, like, I didn't expect you guys to pull out a song, but you guys are not writing anything right now, of course, because you guys are on tour, but you guys should be writing hopefully next year. But why a single and then have us all waiting here?
I know, sorry. Well, it's better, a single is better than nothing, right?
This is true.
But there's a couple reasons. The first reason is we didn't know that this fall we were going to do these tours,
mm-hmm.
Until earlier this year. We thought that this fall, you know, where we are right now, because we're doing the Rise Up tour with Devil Wears Prada and Memphis Through Fire, we thought that would be free time where we would be writing.
Yeah.
And then we'd be able to put out a record early in 2017. However, this tour came about. We thought it was a good opportunity, be a lot of fun. So we took the tour, but we realized that was going to make push back the record. And so we had 3 months off in the middle of the year and the summer, and we decided we'd write a song. And so Paul Mark wrote, had this riff, and I put some vocals over it, and we spent a lot of time actually just kind of sending stuff back and forth over the computer. You know, we didn't even get in a room for this song. We just were sending it, like, digitally, ideas back and forth. And the song came out amazing. I mean, like, I think it might be the best song it's one of the best songs we've ever done, I can honestly say. And it's really, people have been so excited. So we put that out, and now, I mean, we're just kind of inspired a little bit by how well the song is done, to, you know, start writing another record. And basically when this is done, we're going to start writing, probably, like, you know, January, and spend probably about 2 months writing, 2 months recording, and then we'll have a record out probably in the summertime.
I'm excited for that. So, you guys are on tour with Memphis Mayfire, Devil Wears Prada, and, like, Moths to Flames.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? You guys, like, I'm sure all of you guys get along. This is a really long tour, all of you guys together.
Yeah, it's cool. I've never actually done that before, where I've done a tour in one area, you know, like, and then we've brought it to another area with a break. That's pretty cool. So, it was cool because, you know, the U.S. tour, we all had our own vehicles, and I mean, we've toured with Devil and Lake Moss a lot. Memphis Mayfire, we've only done Warped Tour, but I still know those guys pretty well. But now we know each other, and we're going over to Europe, and we're actually sharing buses.
Oh.
Because in Europe, they have these massive double-decker buses that have, I don't even know how many bunks. Like, I think they have buses with, like, 16 or 18 bunks. So we're going to have four bands on two buses, and it's just going to be a party.
Yeah. So is it going to be Silverstein and Prada in one bus? Or,
we're going to be with Prada. Well, you know, we're the old guys, and we know each other well. So it makes the most sense for us and Prada to be together. So we're doing it.
Based on your podcast, you guys, you had the singer to Prada on.
Mike.
And you guys were talking about, what was that, the term that you guys used for a party?
Ladies' night.
Ladies' night.
Yes, which is late 80s night. Yes, nothing to do with actual girls. No. Late 80s night. So we hang out and we listen to late 80s music and drink IPAs and shake our butts. And Andy does the lights. So Andy turns the lights off and on really quick so that we kind of have a good light show.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Any good tour stories for this tour? Like any, I don't know, pranks maybe?
No, it was like pretty mellow actually. And I think the reason was because it was so short. Like the US leg was only 3 weeks, and which for a US tour is really short. Typically, you know, when you're talking about a full US tour, it's closer to like 6 weeks. So we only did half of that. And I think just as we were kind of all getting comfortable with the way the tour was operating, you know, I was sick, you know, like I said, for a lot of it, so I wasn't around as much. I think just as that happened, though, it was over. But we still have a European run.
I have, like, a couple fan questions. So this question comes from Jeremy, and he said, what do you value most in life now that you have toured for a long time? And he was curious on if...
I think I understand. I mean, yeah, like, what I value most, that's, you know, that's an interesting question, I think it's something I still don't even always know. Because I go through periods of time when I'm, like, on the road, you know, and I, like, wish I was home, and I wish I was, you know, with my friends and my family at home. And you know, and you're missing special occasions, you know, and there's that stuff that you kind of long for, and you know, figuring out your life and moving forward. You know, and that's something that happens to me a lot when I'm on tour. But then at the same time, there's times when I'm home and I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm sitting here. Like, I should be playing music. I should be, you know, out there doing that because that's what I do. You know, so when you ask about what I value in life, it's like, I think, to be honest, I value the variety that I'm able to have in my life that I think most people don't have that opportunity to be able to spend time at home relaxing and be able to see the world touring and express themselves musically. So I think that is something that I've accepted, and I've accepted that, and I think that's something that I do value.
Two more questions, and then I'll let you go.
Sure.
What was your best moment in your career? I made it, per se, I guess,
you know,
is the best way to put
it. You know,
it.
For me, it was when we did the Discovering the Waterfront 10-year anniversary tour. I think that tour represented that, you know, because people always ask me, like, oh, yeah, you know, that's the question, like, oh, when did it hit you? When did it hit you that you made it or whatever, and I always thought it was, you know, like oh, when we got signed to Victory Records, and oh my God, and it, there's never was a moment where it hit me. It was just small step after small step, and it was just putting your head down and keep on working, and then next thing you know, you look up and you've traveled, you know, you've gone so far. So with the Discovering the Waterfront tour, I think that was the first time I ever felt like, wow, like, this record we did 10 years ago, people still care about this record a lot. People are here. It still means a lot to people. And that just kind of spoke to our legacy as a band and you know, kind of just was the point where it was like, okay, this is something I did and no one can take this away from me. And I'm legitimately proud of my career and my work, and you know, and that tour kind of just cemented that in for me.
Yeah, probably one of my favorite albums of Silverstein. I agree. Okay. And then this one's actually my question. I've been listening to your podcast since I found it in February, and I've listened to every episode. And
Wow. You
said you had put resolutions in December. You did no drinking for a month, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you also said you were going to do the P90X.
Yeah.
Did you follow through with that one? I'm curious.
Oh, hell no. one resolution at a time, okay? the drinking thing. Yeah, I had a particularly rough Christmas break of drinking and decided I'm going to take a little bit of a break from this. And I went the entire month of January without drinking a single sip of alcohol. So that was okay, I guess. And I said, hey, maybe now's the time, like, you know, in tandem, I'll get off my ass and you know, get back on the P90X train, which I have done before. Sadly, that was not in the cards this time, but maybe it will work out this time. Maybe I'll keep drinking. but I'll do P90X. Maybe that'll be my New Year's resolution.
All right. Well, anything you want to say to the fans? You want to plug in the podcast, your social media?
Sure. You know, I have a podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. You can find it. I don't know. LeadSingerSyndrome.com is the website. That's pretty easy. Also, yes, River Oaks. We're going to be around. I'm going to be around doing that solo tour in December. So RiverOaksMusic.com. And I'm pretty much just Shane Tolt on all my social media, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for dealing
thank
with
you,
me.
Julia.
Nervous and stuttery. It's different when you're asking the questions. I'm not used to it.
I know. I definitely know when it's how different it is. So it's nice for me for a change to be interviewed, because I've been doing mostly the one doing the interviews lately. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. I will talk to you later. Take care on the UK leg tour.
I will. Thanks a lot.
Nice to catch up with Shane. It sounds like he's doing well. Make sure you check out RiverOaksMusic.com and get tickets or VIP packages to his upcoming tour. Here are the dates. December 26th, Pontiac, Michigan. December 27th, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. December 28th, Pittsburgh, PA. December 29th, Philadelphia, PA. And December 30th, New York, New York. Before I go, I want to say a special thanks to Jay and Beth for helping me out editing and putting this thing together. Big thank you to Tiffany Mitchell for the awesome picture of Shane and her continuous support. And big thanks to Shane for doing this with me. We will have a new episode every other week, so keep listening, subscribe, and share this with all your friends. So we're going to close this off with a song called Mistakes from Shane's solo project, River Oaks. Much love. Bye.
Promises held your head so high. Worthless were words from lips that lie. I can't change it, I can't blame you. All these mistakes have cost me years. Sometimes the branches break the fall. Sometimes we hit the ground and crawl. I can't get up, don't be patient. You should move on and leave me here. But if you're all that I have, would you still walk home with me? If I promise to stay out of and broken makes you try. I can't change it, I can't blame you. All these mistakes have cost me years. I can't change it, I can't blame you. All these mistakes have cost me years.
This is a special announcement for men with ED. A local medical clinic is offering free doses of a breakthrough ED medication to the first 75 men who call now. This offer is to spread awareness about a treatment that's 98% effective, even for men who can't take prescription ED medications. You'll receive a personalized, custom blend of the latest FDA-approved medications, formulated to treat sexual performance problems caused by diabetes, cardiovascular problems, low testosterone, or depression. Your appointment will be at a private and professional medical office with a doctor representing a physician network that has helped over 50,000 men regain their performance in just one office visit. If you thought your ED symptoms were untreatable, don't miss this opportunity to get a free dose of a highly effective, rapid-acting medication. This offer is limited to the next 75 men who call. You must act now to reserve your free dose of this breakthrough treatment. That's 800-947-3300. 800-947-3300. 800-947-3300.